Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for today. A haughty spirit brings about destruction, and pride brings about a fall. That's a guarantee. What God is saying, when you want to carry a haughty spirit, it will bring about your destruction. And if you want to carry your pride, it will guarantee that you eventually will fall. You would think with that kind of warning, people would understand that the best way to deal with any situation is being humble. Because when you're humble, you've laid your pride aside, so you won't fall. When you're humble, you won't lead yourself into destruction. So you think about it today as you deal with people who are going to challenge you and test you on your ability to be humble. They're just simply testing what God said. Are you haughty, heading for destruction? Or are you prideful, headed towards a fall? This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
All of us. Thank God. Welcome to Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church Midday Bible Study. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 continuously. And we just pray that you'll be edified by this Bible study wherever you're listening around the world. Again, we appreciate you taking the time to come join us. And all definitely are welcome. So let's open in prayer. Oh, great Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless us as we go forward in faith. All right. You know, this last week we kind of started chapter 12, and we understood that the gifts of God are serve a purpose. And that, what is that for? What is the gifts of God for?
To glorify God.
You just keep remembering that. That's going to be the main thing when we talk about gifts, is that it has two purposes: to edify the body, to grow it up, to mature, and to glorify God. Okay. And then it said that in verse 12:7, it tells us pretty much that. It tells us that the purpose for this gift, the manifestations of the gift, is the purpose to build up the body, is to support the body. And what we have beginning to understand is that the gifts are really not given for us. The gifts are given for everybody else but us. We are like the straw. The straw gets no glory other than its accurate delivery of the substance to which it draws from. And the more that we mature through our trials and tribulations, we'll be able to draw more from the Holy Spirit to give to someone else. And then the Holy Spirit gives the whole church, the body of Christ, gifts for that purpose. And you may have a main gift, okay? But because we're a body, we benefit from each other's gift. So when I'm placed at a time to serve in ministry somewhere else, I may not be the pastor, I might not be the preacher, but because I've learned from Sister Jackie, and one of her gifts is definitely prayer, then what ends up happening is I've listened to her and I've received the impartation of her gift. So then when I'm called upon as the body is needed, I have something referenced, which is the gift that she has, to give away. Okay? So even though you guys are not the main speaker, hopefully something be said. So when the time comes, you need to witness or something, you'll say, yo, the Holy Spirit will bring back into your remembrance all that was said about Jesus through the gift that was given to be that led you to talk. Okay. So everybody in here has a gift. Okay. And you don't need to go around asking men what your gift is. You just need to keep plugging at it. Plug in where you get in, where you can fit in. Your gift might be just a help. And the Bible's going to tell us that these unseen gifts are so more important than the seen gifts. Because the unseen gifts really get no credit. They don't get the praise. They don't get the adulations. They don't get the accolades. But God says because they're unseen and because they don't, I'm going to give them better honor. So as we move forward in this, we'll go ahead and get started. So open your Bibles to 12 And we're going to start at verse 7. And today we're going to talk about the unity from the unity that the gift should bring. The unity that the gift should bring. We're going to see the source of the unity and see what it says. So we're going to go ahead and start at 1. And we're going to stop at 7. And then we're going to pick back up. Okay, Frieda? Mm-hmm. Okay, no matter what Bible you got. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Go.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed.
Now, a lot of your Bibles may say ignorant. And we discussed that Sunday. The ignorant, that word ignorance, we know that in the English language now, ignorance has a very negative meaning. You know what I'm saying? You don't call your friend ignorant unless you're trying to talk about them. You don't call your children ignorant unless you're saying something very negative to shock them. Well, in the Greek, this ignorant word, this is a better translation. It's where we get agnostic. You don't know. So he's saying, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be in a position where you don't know. Okay? So it has no negative. It's, I don't want you in a position where you don't know. And you come from a position of not knowing because you was pursuing other gods, which are not gods. We went over that last week. We went over that Sunday in Psalms 115:5. We went over that, okay? So he said, I don't want you to be unaware. So when you're dealing with people, deal with the position of maybe they don't know. And I know, you know, a lot of us think because they've been in church all their life, they should know some things, right? Yeah. But we are example of people who've been in church. Some of the people in our midst, in our congregation, they've been on church on life and they still learning even the more, right? Yeah. They just didn't know. You know, Jackie said it to me, say, Pastor Sutton, maybe they just didn't know. Yeah, I have to take that into account. They just didn't know. Meaning, either they didn't get it taught or they're in a time in their life when they couldn't receive it. Because one of the things that we need to understand with God is revelatory. And which means you can study all you want, which is good. But until God opens your eyes to see what it means, you might stumble with it for a while. But I'll tell you this, if you want to know what it means and you ask God to explain it to you, I told you guys, write down scriptures you don't mean, ask God to show it to you. And he promised there was no good gift that he would withhold from you. Definitely wants you to understand his word. So then write down the day or the method to which God helped you understand. It could be a song. It could be somebody's preaching. It could be another class. And I'm telling you, he will give you the understanding of that scripture that you haven't dealt with. But you got to keep track of that stuff. Then you'll see, you'll be like, man, God answered my prayers, but you have to be receptive to that. All right. You got to be receptive to getting it in a different way other than necessarily getting the understanding from me or others. You know, you got to open your hearts to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, because he really wants to talk to you. He really wants to have a relationship with you. And again, we know one of the things that keeps us from being unaware is sin. Sin in our life that's unrepentant keeps us from not hearing God and being unaware. All right. So he's telling him, I don't want you to be unaware like you used to because you practice paganism, because you practice idolatry. Okay. Go ahead.
You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. Mm-hmm. However, you were led. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
So in other words, what he's saying is the declaration of who Jesus is can only come by the Holy Spirit. And nobody who's under God will say Jesus is accursed. Okay? Nobody. All right? Now, just because you say Jesus is Lord don't mean you're saved. All right? What you're going back to Peter when he said the Holy Spirit told you this. The God, the Father told you who I was. But at that time, Peter wasn't saved. Okay? You have to remember, we are his creation. He if he can make a mule talk, he can make anybody say what needs to be said. Right? Even a rank sinner that's out here sinning in so many different ways, God can give him a word of wisdom for you. You just got to be open to know that it's from God. And in that moment, they give it to you, and then they go back to doing what they do. And you're like, wow. Yeah. It goes back to doing what they do. So They were pagans. He doesn't want them anywhere. So now he's going to talk about spiritual gifts, because we're moving away from the carnality of the complaints back from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12. And now we're moving into spiritual gifts. All right. So go ahead.
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone.
So in other words, it's the oneness of God that empowers each gift in everyone. That means to some degree, God is the unifying power behind all of our gifts being manifested for the body. And it's not your gift is less or there's not more spirit in your gift. It's all powered by the same source, the oneness of God, the triune oneness of God. Go to John chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Loetta, read that for me.
Okay, John.
John chapter 10, verse 29 and 30.
Okay. John chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Okay, John 10, verses 29 and 30. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
So we see the unity of the Father and the Son. I and my Father is one, and there's no one greater than my Father, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. So how did that pertain to gift? The gifts are from the Father and from the Son and are delivered to you by the Holy Spirit, and it's nothing greater than that can snatch it away from you. Okay? Nothing can remove the power of God working from you, in you, for others. So the greatness, again, we were talking about Frida, the other day when we were talking about forgiveness of oneself. It's like you have to walk in the power of the resurrection to know that you've been forgiven. If you're still worried about being forgiven, you're not walking in the fullness of the power of the one that is greater than everything else. You see, you're denying the power when you can't walk in what has been given to you. I'm going to say that again. You're denying the power of God when you can't walk in what he said he's given you. It's like if I gave you a dollar, and you would say, I didn't give it to you. Yes, I did. But if you don't know how to spend it, that's another story. But I did give it to you. I have empowered you with it. I have bestowed it upon you. And it's the God, the creator of everything, that has given you this gift. So think about it. If it's to glorify God and to edify the body, it's a power. Your position is very powerful in the body of Christ. And it's important. Okay? That's why in church we have to be careful not to rank certain things, because that same unifying power unifies all of us together. And it's fueled by what? What is it also fueled by? The power of the Holy Spirit, but it's fueled by what we call love, right?
Yeah.
Unconditional, sacrificial, committed love that is steadfast and immovable towards us. So as we exercise our gifts, we don't need to be dissuaded by people who bring carnality into it and say, well, your gift is greater than this gift and you are so anointed. Don't fall for the people puffing you up with that. Don't fall for that, okay? It's the oneness and the humility of Christ. Let this mind, the mind of humility, be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. That mind that is powerful on one end but very humble on the other end, for the benefit of always somebody else. If I'm looking after you and you looking after me, all of us will have everything we need. So when I look after you, I don't lose nothing. And when you look after me and pray for me, you don't lose nothing. And we talked about this before. Don't be scared to be giving away what's been graced to you, because God is always renewing his mercies and grace every morning for us so we can give it away to somebody else. It says to get mercy, we have to be willing to give mercy. And I find myself, as I'm maturing in Christ, by his grace, I am more sensitive to the fact that we as a church need to understand the society we're living in right now and what God would have us to do right now. Now, we don't compromise God's word on no level, but there's a level of grace that we need to understand. Maybe they just don't know. And if I approach it, if I approach my first thought is, you don't know, instead of you should know, you've been in church, you should know, judgmental. Well, you under a bad pastor. See, all that could be true. But really, is that the point right now? Or is the point me conveying what God has given me as a gift to give to them in a way that now they're not defensive, but they can receive it? You get to talk about people's pastor from their past. It hurt, even though they didn't left them, they feel like a fool. And that's not our goal. If they've broken away, hallelujah. But it ain't your job to remind them how foolish they were. They're walking into the light. Okay? All right, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Mm-hmm, the common good. There's none good but God. Okay? So it's to glorify God for the common good of the body, for the common good of glorifying God. Go ahead.
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit.
So who in the Bible was considered the wisest man to ever live?
Solomon.
Okay. And if and we're not going to go there, but if you go back and read the account in Solomon, he asked, God came to him in a dream the first time, and he said he's but a youth. He really wasn't a child, but he was young. And he humbled himself and he said, Lord, I don't know what to ask for, but what I'm going to ask for is wisdom that I may lead your judge your people. And God said, because you asked for that, I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to also make you the richest man to ever live. But it's interesting, God gives for gifts without repentance.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the gifts without repentance.
Mm-hmm. Because God gives gifts to all men.
Okay.
Sinner, I mean, think about this, because you can use your gift in a carnal way. That's what the Corinthian church was doing. Okay. Remember, go back to chapter 1, it said they had all the spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Very powerful church. But the problem was they were carnal.
Okay.
They were using their gifts for themselves. They were using their gifts against the edifying and puffing themselves up. So God can give you a gift, but you can still misuse it. Just like your natural friends. They can gift you with something and then you can misuse it. I remember my parents, when my first 10 speed, oh man, I was happy. Matter of fact, got it from Central Hardware. Y'all, all those old folks remember that. Central Hardware. And the one on Page, up the street in Overland. And my parents told me, buy a lock. So Mr. Dwyer, our class was going to take a ride to Forest Park and go to the zoo for our science class. Okay. I didn't have a lock. My parents said, don't you go. Well, you know me. I'm going to go anyway. They at work. They ain't going to know. I'm going to be back. So because I was disobedient, I got a good gift. But then I was disobedient with my gift because my parents gave me parameters in which to utilize my gift. I'd roll my bike to the park. You know, I had the things you park all your bikes in.
Yep.
And my thinking is, it's so many bikes here, they're not going to, no, mine's not hooked up to nothing. Well, as we came back, what ended up happening?
Gone.
Everybody else hopping on their bike. And think about it, I'm standing there. And of course, my teacher's hopping on his bike. And he started looking around. I'm looking around. And guess what? I'm the only one don't have a bike.
Wow.
So now, guess who gets the phone call? My parents. James, his bike has been stolen. Do you know my parents never bought me a bike since then? I didn't get my next bike until I was almost 35 years old.
Disobedient.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you can get a gift, but your character has to be built so you be obedient so the gift can be utilized right. Okay, my character, let's put it this way. I was grossly disobedient to my parents, and I got what I got, the consequences.
Yes.
Okay, Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. But the one thing that happened with Solomon, even though the Spirit of the Lord gave it to him, he still leaned into his flesh. So that questions you. He asked for the right thing, but his character wasn't built to handle the right thing that God had gave him. Because he used his wisdom in a worldly way to have all them wives. He used his wisdom to seduce. Yes, he ruled over a peaceful time in Israel. And yes, he built the temple. But the flaw in him was he wasn't mature. And I was listening to something today that was so interesting. They say, sometimes when we ask for stuff from God, and I know God said we ask amiss, you know what we probably need to say? And this was said, and this is something to think about. Maybe we need to say, God, I can't choose what I really need. You know what I need more. You give me what I need.
That's a powerful statement.
That is a powerful statement.
Yeah. I could come up with a whole bunch of things that I think I need. Mm-hmm. And they're good. They're not sinful. But if I say, God, since you are my creator, you know what I need. And then you said in your word, to see Solomon had this, he'll provide all our needs according to what? So what I need to do is tap into what he said. And what he said was, ask me. And maybe the simple asking is, God, I can't. I have too much flesh in me to depict what's holy and righteous. Whatever you give me, and then once you give it to me, you're going to have to develop my character to carry that thing.
Yes.
You're going to have to test me. You have to try me. You're going to have to let me bump my head. But Lord, you said you never what? Leave me nor forsake me. So since you gave it to me, you got to teach me. Since you gave it to me, you got to, I'm your child. You got to do this and give me the opportunity to recognize what you're doing in me as I'm being developed to carry this mighty gift. We might have had a different story about Solomon. Okay? So I just noticed that, like, we can ask, but I'm thinking now, sometimes, and I'm not telling you never to ask for God, but he gave you parameters in which to ask. You know, everybody run that scripture, Jesus asked anything in my name, but read the parameters. To read the parameters, say, that's going to glorify him and glorify his word. He didn't. It's not a carte blanche. It's not a Visa or MasterCard or American Express. It has to glorify him. You have to look at it like God wants to give you something that makes him look good.
Amen. That's it.
It takes care of the body.
Amen.
Taking care just to you, that's a pretty selfish thing.
That's right. It's very selfish.
Now, he said to Solomon, he explained, Solomon, with all his riches and all this glory, did not have the glory of one of these lilies in the field. And how much more, if he takes care of the lilies in the field and the birds of the air, how much more we take care of you? But it's hard for us in our flesh to understand the unity and the sufficiency of the provision of God. We'll say Jehovah Jireh because we just know to say that. But it's a deeper thing to understand. You have to live in that thing.
Amen.
That he's a provider.
Yes.
And you have to wait on the provision. And that's where we got our problem. Microwave food. We want to get it quick. Air fry. Everything is to make it quick. We don't want to slow cook nothing. And those of us who know, slow cooking is the best cooking you can get.
Praise God. I did some slow cooking over the weekend. Praise God.
You know, you got to take that thing that takes its time and had the house smelling for a couple of hours.
Yes.
That's some good cooking.
Amen.
Okay. But that, I could turn it on and it'd be done in 15:15. Hey, set it and forget it.
I love that.
We become too spoiled to God's. He lives in patience. He lives in all of us long suffering. But the society we live in now. See how the devil makes a society, makes everything about now. So everything is about now in the church itself for salvation.
That's right.
You want everything now but salvation. You preach them. They say they want our way. I'm not ready. The one thing that's for sure, they're going to die.
Amen.
And they don't know when. And they don't know when. But they could put that off. But they want their chicken fried now. You see what I'm saying? They want it now. You know, they want it now. All right. So we see that God gives this gift and everyone gets a gift, and it's for the common good of the body of Christ. All right, keep reading for you. Verse 8. 1 Corinthians. Go ahead.
Start at 8.
Uh-huh.
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit.
So the unity of the Spirit, there's not two different spirits that give you wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is the ability to use the information for the glory of God. You can get knowledge. There's a whole bunch of people that can read scripture, quote scripture, and have a photographic memory. Mm-hmm. But the word in their heart. You know how you know? All you got to do is watch them. I've watched people come into church and know this Bible back and forth and this, that, and the other, and wild people out. And as soon as they walk out the door, they're cussing up a storm. Why? Because they have a photographic. God has, now watch this. God has gifted them with a photographic memory. But they don't understand their photographic memory is to be able to memorize the word of God and put that word in their heart so they can get that heart word to somebody else. But they want to get the accolades and get the puffed up. Okay? They I want to be like so-and-so. No, he said he gives to each individual a gift. You don't need to be like Pastor. You don't need to be like Sister Lueta. You need to find out what God has gifted you to do. And you don't take no test made by man to figure it out. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. He the one who gave it to you. Okay? You don't need that. You don't need all that man-made stuff. Answer 24 questions, and each question get 5 points. If you fall within the 5 points or the 10 points, that's to prove that that's your gift. No. Oh, and we fall for that kind of stuff. You'll pay for the test.
That's the same as taking the class on speaking in tongues, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's foolish. I mean, but think about it. That's that idle things. You remember we read that in Psalms 115, verse 5. Jackie, go to 115, verse 5 and hold it. Psalms 115, verse 5. We read that. See, that's the same. So now think about this. They a man like you a man or woman. They've come up with a 25-question test that you pay for. That they made, that you gonna believe, that they are the arbiter of your gift when the Holy Spirit just told me he give the gift. Come on. So but what you're saying is if the chart don't, if I get 10 out of 24, then that's not my gift. Well, maybe you got 10 out of 24 because you're not mature enough to carry the gift yet.
There it is.
And then why are you paying for it? Y'all gonna believe this. But see, I know this to be true because this just happened to me recently, one of our saints. Pastor, have you ever heard of such and such and such a test? I said, yes. And they say, well, you know, I believe my gift is such and such and such. I said, okay. And I took the test and I fell short. I said, how you feel? He feel bad. That person feel bad. Because the test, he didn't pass the test. They thought that since they knew their gift, that they was going to at least get 22 out of 24. And I said, even if that's your gift, right? I said, you're not even demonstrating you a 22 out of 24 with us. So it's okay. You're still growing. Okay? Yeah. But see, just show you how the Bible say. Jack, go ahead. 115:5, Psalm.
Psalms 115:5. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see.
Keep going.
They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them
So do all who trust in them.
So in other words, you become dumb. They cannot help you. Okay? We got to be careful how we do things. Like I said, sage don't chase away no devils. Crystals don't do nothing either. And burning incense, ain't no devil scared of no incense. Just make your house smell good, okay? Quit. That's the foolishness of man. And putting red over your doorpost ain't gonna scare nothing either. Okay? You can't substitute the blood of Jesus for nothing.
Hallelujah.
Red ain't gonna do nothing. You're just gonna mess up the color scheme to your room. Stain, yeah, that ain't no blood. If you gonna do something like that, go out there and slaughter a lamb and do some of it, right?
Right. And what about this anointing going around that oil?
Oh yeah, Christmas. Yeah.
Okay. But you see, man loves to practice religion. If you can give me a shortcut, I'll take it. I'm not going to take the time to learn to put this word in my heart that I might have sinned against thee. I want some kind of formula that will give me everything I want. The newest one I heard is this six-penny thing.
What's that?
Say something, you take 6 pennies at the crossroads, you drink a little liquor, you pour on it, and God, they're going to bring some money. You see how foolish that is? But I mean, but these are, hold on, but see, we laughing, but these are church folk doing this stuff.
Yeah.
These are people who believe that if you got a cross on your neck and you rub it, you're going to have some good luck. That's witchcraft. All of this is witchcraft. And God warned Israel about it, and he's warning us about it. Paul is saying, don't fall for these dumb idols. We read that in the beginning, okay? All right, keep reading. So knowledge is good only if it's backed up by godly wisdom. Knowledge is good, but when it's backed up by earthly wisdom, it becomes a sin. And that's what ended up happening with Solomon. Solomon received the gift, but he used it in worldly ways. Okay? Because it didn't glorify God when he got them 1,000 wives, them 700 wives and 300 concubines, however that worked. That didn't glorify God. It didn't glorify God when he used his own people to enslave them so they could build a temple. That didn't glorify God. When he did some things and bought some horses that he told, don't get no horses from Egypt. That didn't glorify God. And God came to Solomon 3 times and said, the deal was, I'm going to give you this. And if you do this, this will be the blessings. And if you don't do it, this will be the curse. And what happened with Solomon? At the end of Solomon, the kingdom of his son, the kingdom was written to. Between the sin of David and the sin of Solomon, God said, I'm going to split the kingdom up to the northern and the southern kingdom. And I'm going to work with Judah. But then we know, as we study in Jeremiah, Israel proper went first. The northern kingdom went first into captivity by the Syrians. And then they were supposed to look at what happened to the northern kingdom and keep following God. But guess what? Judah, the described as the treacherous sister, is worse than the northern kingdom because they got the example of what God was going to do and they fell right into it themselves. And that's when they went into Babylonian captivity. God gives you a way of escape. We read that in chapter 10. He always gives you a way of escape. But if you are so haughty minded, you won't take it. So you need to have godly knowledge and godly wisdom, okay? And just because God has gave you a gift and you think you got a gift, move slow with it.
Amen.
Move kind of slow with it. Be careful with it. Because again, all it takes is a couple of saints to really acknowledge that gift in you. And next thing you know, your head is big as Montana. And you walking around peacocking. Walking around with people carrying your water and carrying your Bible and, you know, looking up to you and shining your shoes while you in the pulpit. Man, see, that's that silliness, though. I mean, I've seen all of that.
That's true.
I've seen all that in the church. And I ain't been in the church since 2000. I mean, I started really going to church 2008 once I got back. So I've seen a lot in a short period of time that is just basically utter foolishness. It's the gift being abused. That's what it is. It's the gift being abused to satisfy the carnality of men. That's what the problem was, the Corinthian church. They were using the gift to satisfy self. Satanism, this is just a sidebar. Satanism is not that stuff you see on television. or in the movies. That's not Satanism. That spin your head around and all that stuff, and you and, the, and all that stuff, that ain't Satanism. If you read what Satanism is, Satan was saying this: I want to be like the Most High God. I want to be worshipped. I want people to bow down to me. Satanism is selfishness. It's all about you. He's distracts you with that other stuff. But true Satanists, if you talk to a true Satanist, they just believe the world is theirs and they can do what they want to do and it's all about them and they'll do whatever it takes for it to be about them. Okay? Yeah, some of them do the rituals, but most of them understand it's for me and me only. And matter of fact, even if you a Satanist and we in the same thing, I will hurt you to get what I want. Wow. Because I ultimately want it to be all about me, as Satan did. All right? It's never for the... So it's, he's not even for his own demons. He will sacrifice them for his own glory. He don't care nothing about them. You see? He don't care nothing about them. That's why I read the Screwtape letters or listen to Screwtape. Des will tell you that. He don't care nothing about them. They serve him. You know, he don't... That's all they do is serve him. Okay? All right, go ahead, Freedom.
Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
So pretty much the other ones we kind of know. But he said to various kinds of tongues, it means foreign languages, and interpretation of tongues. Okay, this is not your prayer language. Okay? You got your own prayer language, that's fine. That's between you and God. Paul already said, when you're doing in that mode, you edifying yourself and you ain't doing nothing for the body. Okay, roll on with it then. See, to me, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying what the Bible say. It say when you do that, you're edifying yourself. It has nothing to do with the body. So if you want to benefit me, let me know what you're praying over me with.
Exactly. Have you ever heard anyone interpret someone speaking
in tongues? No. As of today, no. No. And that lets you know something. That kind of lets you know something. And then when the few times like on YouTube or something, I've seen something like that. Why does God always talk like this? And then he said, why you got to have the bravado? And then if you listen to the person speaking tongues, they're repeating themselves over and over again. That's why you know it's gibberish. Because if you ever listen to somebody who speaks a foreign language that's different from yours, you can see there's not a cadence. And then sometimes in church, they're saying the same thing over and over again, same thing over again. But how are you getting different words out of the same thing? But I haven't really seen, and to answer your question, no. I haven't been in a service, personally, where somebody gave a message in tongues and somebody interpreted it. But still, even with the interpretation, you have to have a discerning of spirits.
Yes.
You got to have a discerning of spirits. Because just like you could get tricked with anything else that's a show gift, you can get really tricked by anything that's a show gift, whether it's tongues or interpretation. You know, that happens. You know, so you have to sit there and judge for yourself. God doesn't tell you just because it got interpreted that you need to believe it. Matter of fact, you weigh, because it's been interpreted, you weigh it. And the only weight and measure you can measure it by is by the character and the word of God. You can't measure it by your feelings. You got to measure it. And even if it's correct, see, this is the thing that you don't understand. Even if something's correct, don't mean it's from God.
That's true. That's so true.
Okay, if the devil can give you false signs, it don't mean the sign don't work. Because if the sign don't work, it don't work. So it's not false. Okay? False sign means the source to which it comes in the direction it wants to take you. Okay? If that's an exit sign, the door is where we go out of. But if I say that exit sign is, that on the outside of the exit sign, it leads you to California. And somebody say, no, the exit sign leads you to the parking lot. Well, you're like, well, I want to believe it's going to take, as soon as I go through, I'm going to be in California. And let's say you there. You were, the minute you walk through the door, you there. Well, it doesn't mean that I was from God. Okay, because it works. It does. It's the source that where it's trying to lead you. Is it leading you to the truth or is it leading you into falsehood? That's why they call it false signs and wonders. And now we're in a time where the Bible, in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about we in a time where there's a strong delusion over this world. And there are people who are delusionary inside the body of Christ. Again, they want to be extra versus solid. They want to be on the fringes because the fringes get attention. They don't want to be straight down the middle because there's no glamour in the middle. The glamour is on the fringes of everything. You know, new revelation, new understanding, all of that. Okay? A revelation that has never been given before. You know, and you and this God got 4,000 years of dealing with man, and now you get the new revelation. Then he tells you there's no such thing as a private interpretation. See, when you know the Bible, see, when you somebody come to me talking about it may be new to you, but it need to line up with the word. But if it's outside the word of God, then I say, oh, yeah, that's one of them private interpretations. Don't even pay no attention to it. See, that's wisdom and knowledge working together for the good of the body. Okay? All right, Frieda, go ahead.
Verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, mm-hmm. who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
So you get your portion as he wills. That means you can have a variety of gifts as the body needs it. Again, you may have a main gift. But if you walk into a situation where that main gift is already there, why does he need to duplicate it? He may need you to pick up trash. But you used to be in the speaker. Well, can't you humble yourself to fit in, to help the body in that moment and pick up trash? Right. See, that's the level of maturity we should be at. Paul said, I become all things to all people that I might save some. That's what he means. Whatever's needed for you to know that the body, the Christ, the Holy Spirit is working in this ministry, then what I'm going to do is, I'm going to equip you as it is needed per each individual. I'm not going to, so what at Walking Truth, you X, Y, and Z. You're out the misfits now. They need A, B, and C from you right now. Maturity and love of them will tell you B, A, B, and C. It doesn't take away from you being X, Y, and Z. See, that's what God is looking for. He's looking for servants. And servants serve where they need. Amen. Now, Sister Carolyn, cook, everybody love it. But if one of y'all need to cook, y'all need to step up. Now, we know it might not be as good, but if we need it, you should be able to do that.
Amen.
I know, but I'm just saying, each body, again, whatever's needed in the moment. So what you have to do is look for what's needed in the moment. Like when we go out to Eric's thing, they're getting that together again for next year. Our job is to handle the tickets, the giveaways. Okay? That's our job there. The job is not for me to get up and start preaching. My job is to sit there and give out the stuff like other people and talk to people. We have the luxury of they got to pass us to get their ticket, so we have the position where we can talk about our ministry. But just like last year, lady sitting there talking to me for about 30 minutes. Then she, because of the conversation, she says, I want to let your pastor know that, you've been really nice to me. Because she had some flyers and stuff. She said, can I leave them here? I said, sure. We just move our stuff over and put your stuff here. And we talked for a few minutes. And she was like, I want to talk to y'all, pastor, because, you know, you've been very nice to me. And they kind of all chuckled because she was talking to the pastor. But she was amazed that was not my, I didn't run with that.
Right.
I just need to be a brother.
Amen.
And she was amazed, like most pastors won't do that. They lead with their title. Okay? Just be a brother or sister sometimes. You don't need the title. They'll figure
it
out.
Yes.
Okay? All right, keep reading.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, mm-hmm. so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit.
So in other words, now he's using metaphor or the baptism. Okay, this is not water baptism. This is the real baptism. We are all baptized into one body. Everybody in that's saved is baptized into one body. We are immersed into Christ Jesus. That's why we read in Ephesians, everything that we need is in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need is in Christ Jesus. That who we've been baptized into through what? His death. Yeah. We baptized into his death. Yeah. And we also baptized into what? His resurrection. Okay. Water baptism, baptismal is an ordinance, but it's not a mandatory thing to of salvation. Because what if you're a place where there is no water? That means you couldn't be saved. Just a little bit of common sense go a long way. If I'm baptized into Christ, the outward expression that identifies me with Christ to other people is not as important as me being in the body. Because I can fake the outward thing, all of us, and most of us have. You know, when I hear these stories of children getting baptized in church, and when I got baptized in church, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't care what I was doing. I was just doing something because everybody else was doing it. Okay? There wasn't no spiritualness behind that. It was just, hey, 13, 14, let's do this. You know? It didn't make me any, I could actually say with all honesty, that didn't save me, that didn't change me. All that did was make me feel good in the moment. Okay? I was not baptized into the body of Christ. I was baptized by the church, that particular church, with water. When God baptized you to the body of Christ, you're baptized by the what?
The Spirit.
He just saved. By the one Spirit, we all been baptized into the body of Christ.
Okay.
By the one Spirit, the same Spirit that gave you the gift, it's the same Spirit that put you in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And because you're in the body of Christ, Sister Loretta, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we have besides our gifts. And these are going to be more gifts that we get. Start at verse 3.
Okay. Ephesians 1, verse 3.
Okay.
Pages are sticking together.
It's okay. Take your time.
Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
In Christ. Okay, so pay attention. Go ahead.
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him.
Amen. So you can stop right there. So, because we're in him, we have all those things. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the adoption. We have the promise seal, Holy Spirit. We have all these things in him, which are good because of his good pleasure. Remember, we read back in Corinthians that there was a common good. Well, the common good comes from his good pleasure. He died to give you this. So, besides your gift to exercise, he's gave you some things that you can stand on. But it's hard for you to stand on it when you don't believe what she just said. You have been forgiven. That's what it said, didn't it, Wade?
Yes, yes.
He gave you the forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. So why you keep talking about you need to forgive yourself? You deceive yourself. You always been deceiving yourself.
That's true.
Your heart tells you stupid stuff like that. But he said, the Lord who created you, the Lord who gave you breath, the Lord who died for your sins, saying, all of that's been done away. There's no more condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. So why do you need to forgive yourself what I done forgave you for?
Amen.
So there's something wrong with your understanding of all that power that I did for you. Well, I feel some kind of way. You need to get off your feelings and get into the knowledge and the wisdom of the fact.
Amen.
Get out of your feelings. Because your feelings will deceive you. Have you schizophrenic in the Lord? You can't stand on a steady rock of Jesus because you're all over the place. It's just as simple. What God says is true. Period. Stop. Point. Period. Exclamation. What God says is true. And if God says you have all of that, that's what you have. Now, your ability to walk in it, do or handle it, will depend on your level of understanding and maturity. And if you understand that, that's what you need to understand first. Now, with understanding that, you begin to use your gift for the edification of the body and the glorifying of God. But if you don't believe even one of those things are true, your gift is going, you're going to be hampered in using your gift. Because you're going to be afraid to use your gift because you feel that you haven't been forgiven. You're going to feel, I haven't been forgiven. So how can you use your gift if you ain't been forgiven? The gift is given and the gift is given to those who have been what? Forgiven. So any shortcomings is not on God. It's on you. And you need to repent. Okay? Last scripture, Freedom. What did I tell you the scripture today about what you asked about?
2 Corinthians.
Chapter 10.
Chapter 10, verse 7.
7 and 8. Go to that. Check this out. And we're going to end with this before we continue.
Nope. We were 2 Corinthians 7:10.
Okay. 1 Corinthians what?
No, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 7 and 10.
7,
okay.
Verse 10.
Go ahead. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead.
For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret.
So, okay, godly grief, when you're convicted, it leads to a repentance that changes direction. And then after you, if you do that, you will not have grief.
Amen.
Guess what? What's opposite of grief? Joy. So if I understand that and couple it with Romans 2 and 4, where it says the goodness of God should lead me to repentance. So if you have godly grief, it's going to lead you to a place of changed direction and changed mind. Should give you joy. But let's say you can't forgive yourself. What's next?
Whereas worldly grief produces death.
As worldly grief produces continuous separation. There it is right there. Worldly grief will produce death. It will not deliver you. Okay? It will not deliver you. All it can do is keep you separated from the power of God. And you're doing it to yourself. Nobody's doing it to you. Godly grief leads to a conviction that makes you repent. And once you repent, you know God is faithful to what? To forgive us. And if you truly believe that, why do you need anybody else to forgive you? You're the reason why you got to be forgiven. So why are you using yourself as the barometer of ultimate forgiveness? I have to trust and believe that God has forgiven me and walk in a different direction that put me in a position to be under conflict. And again, I'm saying these things that are true, but I'm not telling you that it's easy. But it does get easier when you understand how the Word of God works together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. You will begin to understand these things because they're not foreign. They're in the Scriptures, and you got to start systematically in your mind putting it together to benefit yourself as far as the body is concerned. Yeah. You got to do that. That's the work you got to do. I can't do it for you. All I can do is serve it up. You got to eat it. Because if you don't eat it, then my next question is, what are you serving other people? That's why he told Peter, feed my sheep. And he attached that to love. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Then Peter had to understand, Lord, you know. See, Peter went to, see, Peter got another epiphany. I'm talking because I talk too much. But now I need to say, Lord, you know my heart. You know what's going on with me. And he said, feed them. What Peter maybe had understood in that moment was, no matter what response I give is insufficient unless God does it in me. And that's why we go back to Solomon. It was okay to ask for wisdom. But maybe sometimes, saints, we need to say, God, we don't even know what to ask for. But we know that you are good. And you said that you give good gifts to your children. So I'm going to rely on you to get me what's right. Even if I ask rightly, Lord, if it's something better than what I asked for that you can see in me, that I would misuse this gift, Lord, you give me the gift and you hone me to carry the gift for the body's good and your glory. All right? All right. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless us as we go forward in faith. Lord, it's the unity of the Spirit that gives us the gift, but it's the maturity of the saints that the gift has to be worked through, Father God. Let us not abuse the gift for carnal ways and thinkings, Lord, but let us walk by faith that you will mature us in the gift through trials and tribulations and testing. Lord, that we rely on you to get us out, because Lord, you promised a way of escape, and where you don't give us a way out, you'll help us endure it to build our character. Lord, we thank you and we trust you and we love you and we love God's people. We love God's word and we love all that you have to offer us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.